you can't get a better hymn than that to prepare your heart to worship. If the Lord enabled you to sing that from the heart, that's invoking the triune God to help us to worship. I hope those words entered into your heart, not just came from your mouth. Come thou, Almighty King, help us thy name to praise. Come thou, incarnate word, gird on your mighty sword, our prayer attend. Come give and thy people bless, and give thy word success. O Spirit of holiness, on us descend. Man or woman, sing that from the heart, God will speak to you. All right, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3. He says in verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." I hesitated to preach from this. I really did. I hesitated when I read this passage, just started reading it, and thought, I think I'll preach from that. But then I hesitated, because I've preached from this probably more than any other passage. I don't know if you know that or not, but after reading it again, I am convinced that this is the message. This is it. Besides, as the apostle said here in verse 1, I say from my heart, to write or to preach the same things to me is not grievous. It's not grievous at all. It's glorious. When I was reading this and studying it, it was glorious to me. And I hope it is glorious in your hearing. The same thing. Besides, he said it's safe for you. It's safe. I tell you when you ought to say danger. I tell you when your antenna, your warning signs ought to come up was when if I got up and said, I've got a new message for you this morning. I got something new. The Lord revealed something to me last night, and I want to tell. That's when your warning signs ought to go up from you. But I stand up and say, I'm just going to preach the same things that you've been hearing all along. I'm not tired of studying it and declaring it, and neither is the true believer tired of hearing it. Verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren." Or the word "finally" here is a word of finality. Paul's writing a letter here to the brethren. It's written to believers. "Finally, my brethren." And this is this word "finally" is a word of finality, as if he's trying to get their attention. He said, "Now listen, if you didn't heard anything up until now," he said, "hear this, finally. When it's all said and done now," he says, "now finally, listen." And I like that old saying by a preacher years ago who said, "I preach as one who may never preach again." I thought about that before bringing this message. I preach as one that may never preach again, as a dying man to dying men. All right, what's my last message going to be? What am I going to preach? You know, I prepared this message thinking, it entered my mind that we would have a visitor, a certain woman and her husband, and they're not here. It's always the case. Every time when you think about someone and they enter your mind and you think about some things they need, it without fail, they don't show up. So this must be for somebody else, and I don't know who it is. And that, I'm glad that no flesh should glory. But he said, but I preach as one that may never preach again. And I thought about this message for someone who'd never heard me preach before, never heard the gospel before. I thought, no, this would be a good message for someone to hear who never heard the truth before. And it'd be a good one for somebody to hear who's heard it 1,000 times. Finally. That's what Paul said. Finally. Finally. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul says this over and over again. You study, go through the book of Philippians and see how many times he says rejoice. He says it in the book of Philippians more than any other. Over in chapter 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. And believers, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. They're the only ones who do and who can. But, and that's why we're here this morning. We're not here because it's Christmas morning, because it's Sunday morning for that matter. But we're here to rejoice in the Lord. We're here to worship our God. Far be it from us to come draw near with our lips when our hearts are far from Him. But with the heart, believers come. They say, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Why? To rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice in Him. What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? You with me? Rejoice in the Lord. What's that mean? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Now many people say, Lord, Lord. They never know Him. They don't believe He's Lord. They say things like, you make Jesus Lord. That's not Lord. That's not the Lord God. The Scripture says all the way through the book of Isaiah, He said, I'm the Lord. There is none else. He said, now you're my people that you might know and understand that I'm He. Beside me there's no God. I live, I reign, I rule. I control, I purpose, I've spoken, and it'll come to pass. I've purposed all things concerning you. All things are working together according to my immutable, unchangeable purpose for you. A covenant ordered in all things and sure, a covenant made with my Son, made with my Holy Spirit concerning you, and it will not fail concerning you. I'm the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Rejoice in the Lord. Lord is my God, my King, my provider. He's the Lord. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides all things for me. I rejoice in the Lord who provided for me that righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, He's the Lord, my righteousness. Oh, Jehovah Shalom, He's the Lord, my peace. He made peace by the blood. I rejoice in the peace that Christ, that the angels came and said, peace on earth. To who? Christ said there's going to be wars and rumors of war. Was the angel lying? No, to those that rejoice in the Lord, Jehovah Shalom, and the Lord our peace, in Christ who made peace by the blood of His cross, they rejoice in Him. In Him. Rejoice in the Lord. We could go on. If I didn't get past this, these four words, rejoice in the Lord. Who is the Lord that I should rejoice in Him? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who He is. He's God in human flesh. He's the Lord. He reigns and rules. Now, He's the Savior. He came to save His people from their sins, and He saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. And now He's seated, expecting His enemies to be made His footstool and all His children to come unto Him. He's the Christ. He's my representative. He's my mediator. He's my substitute. He's my intercessor. He's my high priest. He's my Lamb. He's the mercy seat. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. That's what we're going to be doing. Finally. When it's all said and done, that's what we're going to be doing in glory. We're going to be doing one thing throughout eternity, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. singing the same song. How many times have we sung that song? Huh? Come, oh, thou almighty King. We're going to be singing the same song in glory. We're going to sing 1 zillion verses of the same song. Worthy is the Lamb. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and redeemed us. Him, we're going to be singing him in glory. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, he says to write the same things to you. To me, it's not grievous. It's not grievous. It's safe. For you, it's safe. It's not grievous. And as I said, as we looked at in the morning Bible study, we need to examine ourselves in light of how we come and continually hear the gospel. As if the gospel ever gets old hat to us, if the same things ever cease to be glorious to us, if grace, sovereign grace and sovereign mercy, ever ceases to be anything less than amazing to us, then we need to grieve over ourselves. It's not the message. The message hadn't lost its power. Grace hadn't lost its amazingness. We've lost our first love. Is that right? Paul says to write the same thing is not grievous. If I tore into Romans 10 right now, it wouldn't bother me a bit. We just looked at it. Well, we don't know anything. As we preach in part. Stan, I know in part. We haven't dipped. This book is like an ocean in fullness. We haven't touched ankle deep. We haven't begun to enter into the righteousness which Christ worked out on the part of his people. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Write the same things to me. For me is not grievous. It's safe. I'm telling you, this is safe. I'm on safe ground right now. I can leave this pulpit this morning and feel safe. I've told them. Somebody comes in, hears this message for the first time ever, I can say with Ezekiel or Paul, I'm not shunned to declare the whole counsel. I've kept back nothing profitable. Like Ezekiel, I've warned them. I've comforted them. I'm going to comfort you. All right? Verse 2, look at it. Now he says this, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Turn back to Isaiah 56 with me. Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56. The apostle gives first a word of warning here. And he says, beware of dogs. Peter says that in his epistle. Especially 2 Peter. He says, beware. Beloved, beware. Finally, beloved, beware. Paul says here, beware of dogs. He says, beware of evil workers and the concision. Dogs. What dogs he's talking about? He talked about Doberman Pinschers or Rottweilers or Great Danes. You know who he's talking about, don't you? Most of you know. He's talking about preachers. That's who he's talking about. Speaking of preachers, false ones, that is. Dogs. Look at it here. Isaiah 56, look at verse 10. Isaiah 56, his watchmen are blind, or that is, those fellows who call themselves watchmen or who look the part, who are supposed to be watchmen, he said they're blind. They can't see. Over in, I think it's Isaiah 29, he says, the book is delivered unto him that's learned. He's got a degree. We're going to see here, they've got a DD. And they deliver the book, particularly the Old Testament. That's what he's talking about. And they say, read it to us. He said, I can't. I don't understand it. They don't see Christ in the Old Testament. All they see is Jewish history. They're unlearned. They're ignorant. They're blind. But he says in Isaiah 29, he said, made the people to see out of obscurity. I've given blind people eyes to see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, the knowledge of the glory of Christ in the Old Testament. He's opened our understanding. Hasn't he, John? There's a smiling face of a man who's walked on the road to Emmaus and had the Lord Christ come to him personally and break the bread and open unto him the word, by the way. And he said, my heart's burned as I've seen Mephibosheth, as I've seen Rahab the scarlet lamb. And on it goes. The Son of David, the Ark of the Covenant, the Noah's Ark. Not just Jewish history. I've seen his story in all that. The sea out of obscurity. They're blind. Verse 10, he says they're ignorant. Verse 10, look at it. They're all dumb dogs. That's what one old preacher, Puritan, said that, by the way. He said that's where they get the degree of D.D. That's where they got it, Isaiah 56:10. Dumb dogs. So you ought not to poke fun at it. No, ought to poke fun of them. Don't accept, Scripture says don't accept flattering titles, nor degrees, or don't let any man call you father. Don't be called rabbi. Dumb dogs. Barnard said most DDs need to have a fiddle in front of it. Fiddle DD. Dumb dogs. Paul said it. You think the apostle would have taken the title? Reverend, most holy, right, Reverend Father, Dr. Paul M. Div. John, what about John? John the Baptist. What's this? John, who are you? It's not important. Not important who I am. Behold the Lamb. Well, what's your name? Where'd you come from? I'm just a voice. Just a voice. Dumb dogs, sleeping. Paul said, beware of them. Go back to the text. Beware of them. Look at it. He says, beware of evil workers. Go back to Philippians 3 with me, okay? I'm not saying something that God's Word doesn't say. This is what he says. A dumb dog just sleeping. He says they're greedy and never get enough. Barking. They say they cannot bark. Fearful dogs don't bark. He says evil workers. Look at it. They're evil workers. Our Lord said this about many preachers. Listen to me. Matthew 7, our Lord said, Matthew 7, he said, many will say unto me in that day, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, that's the word preach, did we not preach in thy name, did we not cast out devils, did we not do many wonderful works? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work. What? Workers of iniquity. Evil workers. Preaching? Wonderful work? Casting out devils? Is evil work? It is if God's not getting all the glory in it. It sure is. If that man's getting any glory at all, if his name, if he comes in his own name, it's positively evil. If men go away remembering him more than they remember the message, it's positively evil. Show of the flesh, glory in the flesh is positively evil. He said, beware of it. Verse 2, he said, beware of the concision. You notice that's a different word than circumcision, don't you? Huh? Concision. I looked it up. The word means mutilate. Circumcision means a cutting of the flesh. Concision means mutilating the flesh. And that's exactly what most preachers do. They're butchers of souls. They butcher the Word of God. Peter said, they that are unlearned and unstable do wrest the Scriptures, twist it, make it say what it's not saying. Don't say what it is saying. Add to it, take away from it. Wrest. They that are unlearned, they mutilate it, and they're butchered. Our Lord called them merchandisers of souls. They make merchandise of you. You're a name and you're a number and a notch on the belt. Beware of them. He says, beware of them. Now listen, verse 3. He says, we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. And back in Galatians 1, Paul says, now, we preach the gospel. And if anybody preach any other gospel than that which you've heard us preach, he said, let him go to hell. That's what he said. And he says, we are the circumcision. It's awfully bold, isn't it, Paul? It's awfully dogmatic, isn't it, Paul? Aren't you awfully bigoted and biased, Paul? Can you say that, Paul? Most definitely. Most definitely. We are the circumcision. All right? What's that mean? What's circumcision? What is circumcision? Well, circumcision was a... Well, turn over with me to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Circumcision was given by God Almighty to His chosen people as a mark of the flesh, a mark in the flesh, that they were the chosen people, right? You with me? Is anybody with me? Somebody. Right. Okay.
Is this making a noise?
Okay. Circumcision was given by God as an outward mark that God, they were, that the Jews were Jews. All right? Okay. Is that the circumcision that he's talking about, Paul's talking about? We're the circumcision. Many men in here have been circumcised. Is that what he's talking about? No. No. Look at Romans 2. Romans 2, verse 28. He says, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Oh. You mean it's not an outward mark? You mean the sign of being one of God's people is not outward? No. It's not. Verse 29. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart. It's the spirit, not the letter, whose praise is not of men. Or that is, men look at you and say, you must be a good Christian. No. It's when God looks at you and says, there's a believer. There's one of mine.
See, circumcision. He says, we're the circumcision. Well, what's that? It's not an outward mark. It's not an outward mark. We're the circumcision. You see,
anybody can fake the outward signs of religion. Can't we? You go in the average place this morning that people claim to be Christian, and
most every one of them look like us. Conservative, singing the same hymns and all that. Is that what God's looking at? Huh? Well, there's so-and-so in church.
God doesn't see as man seeth. Man looks on the outward countenance. God looketh on the heart.
He said, this people continually, he kept saying, this people draw near to me with their lips when their heart is far from me. With the heart man believeth, not the head, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. A lot of people say a lot of things with the mouth, the heart. Better to have heart without words than words without heart. Well, he said, look at this. Paul says, these are the marks of the circumcision. Three times. Easy to remember. Philippians 3:3 is three marks of a true believer. See if you got these marks. All right? Am I a believer? Am I a Christian? Am I a disciple of Christ? Am I a believer? Well, yeah, look at you the way you dress. Away with that. That's not what it's talking about. Three things. All right, Philippians 3, 3. He said, here's the first one. We are the circumcision which
worship God in spirit.
Worship God in spirit. Now, usually at this time of year, I get like old Ebenezer. When it comes to all this, I said, by humbug to all that Christmas stuff. You know, men, everybody gets real good and religious about this time of year, don't they? Easter and other times, don't they? And there's a great show of religion going on today. Oh, my, there's people coming and making a big show. There's people that don't come, you know, 364 days, but they come today to pay their, well, forgive me, getting on that. But I'm telling you, there's a great outward show of religion going on. Men and women are particularly religious at this time of year, but it's nothing but a bunch of silly, sentimental claptrap. All a bunch of silly sentimentality over a baby in the manger. But true worshipers are worshiping the one who's seated on a throne. He's not little Jesus anymore. There's nothing in the Scriptures that tells us to celebrate His birth. But there's everything in the Word of God that says, bow the knee to the Lord of glory seated on the throne right now. And this is indicative of modern theology, isn't it? They've got Jesus in their hands. This is the one we worship. This baby we can control. But true worshipers worship a Lord of glory seated on a throne. He's not a man anymore. He's a King of kings and Lord of lords. Bless God, He was incarnate. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Bless God, the woman's seed did come. But He couldn't save a flea unless He hung on that cross. There's the gospel. Unless He shed His blood, unless He rose from the grave and is now seated and ever lives to make intercession for us. I'm not diminishing from that glorious thing that happened 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. Oh, my. Glorious. We could preach on it. We could rejoice in it. But I'm just saying that's as far as most people get. It's right here. Ain't He cute? Sweet Jesus. Whew. True worshipers say, ain't He glorious? The sovereign God. From the heart. True child of God worships God. Isn't that what He says? Worships God. From the heart. Worships God. Those that are really saved, this is life eternal, our Lord said in John 17:3, that they might know Thee, the only true God. God who is God. He said, I've come to make a people know that I'm God. I get excited when I get on that subject. I can worship. I never get tired of a man standing up to declare my God. Say unto the people, Thy God reigneth. I say, hallelujah. God. They worship God from the heart. It makes my heart jump a little bit when I hear that. When I read that. God. I can't say it. I can't preach it any other way than that. Love Him as God. You can't preach Him high enough. Can't preach Him. You can't declare Him enough. You can't make God sovereign enough for me. They worship God. Not here to worship Mary or anybody else but God. Look at the next thing. Can you say from the heart you come here because God, this is my God, and I've come to worship Him. To come up, call on the name of my God, to worship God, to thank God. And I'm bound to give thanks unto God for you, brethren, beloved Lord, because He, God, had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. He set you apart from lip-sync people and put His worship in your heart. Sanctified you, the belief of the truth. We worship God. We're the circumcision. I know there are more, but no one is except those who worship God from the Spirit. A God who's not God is not God. That's profound, isn't it? A God who's not God is not God. And those who don't worship Him as such aren't God's people, aren't the circumcision. And He says, number two, they rejoice in Christ Jesus. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. You got to turn to this, all right? Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. You got to turn to this. Isaiah 61. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord our God. We worship and rejoice in Him, all that He is and all that He does. Well, what has He done for His people? The Lord Jesus Christ. This is God. We've waited on Him. Isaiah 25 says, He'll save us. Well, look at how He does the saving. Isaiah 61, verse 10. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. What's He done? He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's worked out a robe. He's with His own hands. Blemish, and He's covered me in it. Look at it. He covered me with that robe of righteousness. I'm covered. He's got it covered. He's got me covered. And that robe of I've got that wedding garment I need. Yes, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornament, as a bride adorneth herself with her jewel. Oh, my. He's clothed me. He's robed me with His righteousness. He's imputed that righteousness to me. Go and learn what that means. True circumcision, rejoice in the Lord thy righteousness. I say it again. I'm saying the same things again. The same old line upon line upon line upon line upon line. He's the Lord our righteousness. When we go to, this is more than a doctrine, we stand here, when we get to heaven, we stand here and say, what right you got to come in? He's going to say, oh, you got a robe on. Come on in. And many people will say, we. He says, get out of my presence. You don't have that wedding garment on. What's the wedding garment? We're ignorant. I'm not ignorant. He robed me in His righteousness. I'll make mention like David of old in Psalm 71 of thy righteousness and thine only. Isaiah 64. Look over there. Is this a good message for someone to hear the first time? Or what? Is this a good message for somebody to hear the last time? John, you're getting ready to go to glory, maybe. Who knows, John Sheasley? How are you going to get there? Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Feelings, faith, anything I am or do, but one thing I'll trust in. Christ, my righteousness. Look at Isaiah 64, 6. Everybody doesn't know what they're wearing. Isaiah 64, 6. What we have sown by our fig leaves, our works on this earth. Verse 6, he said, we're all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Filthy rags. And these dumb dogs today are telling people, you know, that they look good to God and bragging on them, what they do. This is one fellow that won't. All our righteousness is a filthy rag. This sermon is enough self in it to damn me. Is that right? In my flesh, Paul said in Romans said, dwelleth some good things, no good things. No good thing. Filthy rags, but the true circumcision, true believers rejoice in not their own works, not themselves. They rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ.
They rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, a lot of people like to brag on themselves. They're very much proud of their own selves and what they've done and what they are and what they've done for Jesus. God's people, they're absolutely ashamed of themselves. Ashamed of themselves in every way, shape, form, and fashion. They dare not boast. There's no room for boasting in God's people. If you ask them to boast of something, they'll boast in Him and Him only. They rejoice in Him. They don't rejoice in their denomination. They don't rejoice in their faith even. My faith. What a pitiful thing my faith is. I like that Martin Luther's old hymn. It says, feeling. A lot of people, that woman told my wife, she says, my religion makes me feel good. You know, true religion is not designed to make you feel good about yourself. It's designed to make you feel good about the Lord Jesus Christ. True religion is designed. True religion, when God speaks, it breaks your heart. It shows you your poverty of spirit. It shows you your nothingness before God. It shows you nothing but a worm. A worm. But then He lifts you. See, those are abased, He's able to exalt. They that exalt themselves, He's going to abase. But those He abases by the Word and breaks their heart, He shows them. There's no place to look but up. The religion of God is designed to make us look bad to ourselves and makes Christ look that more beautiful. When we see we're nothing at all, only then will Christ become all and in all. They rejoice in Christ Jesus, not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy, He said. Not my faith, not my feelings. Martin Luther said, feelings come, feelings go. One day I feel pretty good about myself. That's when I need to get on my knees fast and say, God, forgive me. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. My hope is in the Son of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Faith. One day I feel strong in the faith. Next day, I wonder if I have any at all. What's my hope, Ron? The day when I'm not feeling like I have any faith at all. The day I'm feeling pretty sinful. When David, far be it from us to fall terribly in sin like he did, but when David sinned, what was his hope? That he had abided faithful? No! When Nathan came to David, he said, you sinned against the Lord. David repented, but he said, the Lord put away your sin, David. They rejoice in the Lord Jesus. And I'm like Peter, I deny Him daily. And if you're honest with yourselves, you say the same thing. We deny Him daily, but He says He comes with a word of rejoicing. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Oh, there's a word of rejoicing in just and Peter. And Peter. Rejoice. It's through circumcision. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Buddy, an old sinner, I talk about getting tired of the gospel. I tell you when you get tired of it, when you ain't got no more sins to be remitted by the blood. That's when. When we get pretty high and start thinking pretty highly of ourselves, that's when the gospel will lose its glory. But I tell you, there's a worm in the dust. There's a woman right now seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her name is Mary Magdalene. She never forgot the pit from which she was dug. And that's every time you'd find her, you'd see her at His feet. And they have no here's the third thing. They have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. None. They don't rely on the flesh in any way. The works of the flesh. No confidence. Don't put any confidence in my ability to keep God's law. Oh, the law of God is good. It's glorious. It's holy. It's just. It's right. It's true. I want to keep it, but that's not my confidence that I've kept it. That's not my confidence. My confidence, I rejoice in Christ Jesus. He kept it for me. That doesn't mean that I'm free to break it. No, God forbid such a thing. But my confidence is not in my ability to keep it, though I endeavor to. My confidence is in that Christ kept it for me. I put no confidence in the flesh. See, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and I feel a war going on. I see another law in my members warring against the law of the spirit that I cannot do the things that I would. The things that I would do, that's what I don't do. The things that I don't do, that's what I would do. Who shall deliver me? Huh? I rejoice in Christ Jesus, my deliverer, my law keeper. Don't you? Same old, same old. No confidence in the flesh. None. Oh, my. They rejoice. They worship God. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. They have no confidence in the flesh. And then Paul went on to talk about himself. He said, if anybody wants to have a little confidence, he said, I've got more. If anybody wants to brag on the flesh, Paul said, let me do some bragging. You think you come from a fine stock, he said. You think you've been a good this and that and the other. I'm the best there'd ever been. Didn't he? That's what he said, Stan. Well, he said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrew. Let's see, you trace your lineage back all the way back to Jacob or Abraham. Go back a little further. He said, I'm touching the law, I was a Pharisee. I studied it. I know the law backwards and forward. He said, but I was ignorant of it. See, because when it came, I died. He said, touching the righteousness was of the law. He said, I was blameless. He said, I thought I had it all covered. And I found out that the law is spiritual. And I died. It slew me. Now, my joy and rejoicing is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in everything. He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, redemption. We joy and rejoice in Christ in justification and sanctification. He is our rejoicing in all things. As I said to you earlier, an old sinner, buddy, never gets tired of hearing these things. Yeah, let me ask you something. An old fella seated at King David's table, seated there with everybody else, seated right beside him, named Mephibosheth. Some of you have heard of him. He's seated there at David's table. Do you reckon he ever got complacent or presumptuous about being seated at that table? Huh? You reckon he ever at times say, I'm tired of sitting here? He may have, but he quickly chided himself. All he had to do was look down at those feet of lame legs and look around him. That King of Kings sitting beside him. Look at that table and take a big bite. Oh, and he'd say, I'm so glad to be here. Oh, God forbid that I should get tired of glory. You see, why are you here, Mephibosheth? Why are you sitting at that table? He fetched me. Who did he then? David. That's why I'm here. All my joy and rejoicing, all that I have is because that king brought me here. And I'm still nothing. Look at that. Look. But look. I'm so glad to be here. And we're the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, the King at the right hand of God, but no confidence in the flesh. None. You don't see any trappings of religion in this place.
Why? God's not worshiped that way. True worshipers worship from the heart. And they worship in spirit and in truth. Who is the truth? Christ is the truth. No confidence in the flesh. All right, Joe, what's that hymn? 217.